talk with George Norrie, call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Well, what a day we're going to have next Friday, because right after our Thursday night program, Friday morning, I get on a plane, go to Hawaii. I'll do the Friday night show out of Hawaii, Honolulu, do an event on Saturday. I'll tell you more about it next week. And then I get back on a plane and come back to Los Angeles. That's pretty intense. I'll be flying over the Pacific Ocean, which will seem like 4 days. And we'll be back in a moment. Open lines for the next couple hours on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie, and let's go to the calls. Wildcard line, welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi, this is JR. I'm calling from Pittsburgh.
Hey, JR, how are you?
Not bad. How's yourself?
Good, good. Go ahead.
I'm just calling to say that I am a vampire.
You are a vampire?
Yes.
What kind of a vampire?
Just your modern vampire, you know, goes out looking for blood.
I mean, did you go to a dentist and get your teeth filed down?
Oh, no, not like the common vampire that you hear from in, like, stories and stuff like that, but...
So you don't go to these parties and stuff like that?
No.
Okay.
But I have an interesting story about my life.
Okay. And how old are you? I mean, are you hundreds of years old, or...?
Yes.
All right.
Because the thing about that is... I reincarnate, but I'm the same person every time.
Are you an adult at every moment, or do you come up through the kid process?
Kid process.
All right, tell me more. What happened to you? How'd this happen? How long have you been reincarnating?
Since around the 14th century.
Something, I guess you were pretty normal before it all happened, right?
Yeah.
Then what happened?
My father who took part in cults pretty much introduced it to me.
Are you being punished because of the sins of the father?
I'm not really sure. I'm just kind of lost.
How do you feel about coming back all the time?
It's kind of depressing in a way, and it's kind of... very powerful feeling at times.
Do you know each time you come back what you were in those previous lives? I mean, obviously you know you're a vampire, but do you know that as you're growing up?
It's kind of strange, but, I can remember just about everything. Like, very few things are a blur to me.
So even as a child... You remember events that occurred 1400, the year 1400, and then 1600, 1800. You remember all these things.
Yeah.
And I assume you're also subject then to mortality. You do die, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You suffer, have pain, everything like we do.
Mm-hmm.
But you just keep coming back over and over again.
Yeah, and. With the cravings for blood and stuff like that.
Now, when you say blood, I mean, what do you do? Go to the supermarket and get a rare steak, or is this something else?
No, this has to be blood from humans or from some sort of animals.
So you're telling me that you suck the blood of live humans?
Yeah.
And do you kill them?
No.
You do not?
They feel very little pain.
Are they willing participants?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
All right. Those that are not, where do you find them? Anywhere?
Pretty much, yes. Mostly women, I lure them.
All right, and I assume after you do this dastardly deed, you just let them go?
Yes, of course.
Do they call the police or anything like that?
No, because for the most part, they don't know.
Who you are?
Who I am. They, for the most part, don't remember.
All right, and do they, like these movies, do they become vampires?
No.
They do not?
No. I'm cursed, so... cursed from my father and the bloodline just will continue.
Have you tried to seek any kind of spiritual help? Is there anything that can be done to help you?
I'm not really sure. I've never really...
never tried that?
No.
Would you be willing to try that?
I guess when I feel that my time's come.
The clothes you wear, you look normal? Or
yep.
You don't run around in a cape or anything like that?
No, nothing like that.
All right. So would people know if they met you on the street that you were a vampire?
No.
They'd have no idea. Do you have a normal job?
Yeah.
Okay. Family?
Yeah.
And are they vampires?
No.
They're not. Do they know you are?
No.
You keep that a secret.
I keep this a secret. This is the first time I've ever come out public with this.
All right. So are you married then, I guess?
Nope.
Oh, you're not married?
Nope.
So you mean when you say family, it could be what, brothers, sisters?
Yeah.
Okay.
Parents sort of thing, yeah.
All right. I don't know what to do to recommend help for you. There's got to be a way for this to end so you don't have to keep coming back. I mean, do you not want to come back? Do you want this to be it, your final life, and then you join the hereafter?
It's kind of like sometimes I do when, like, life gets hard for the most part. Like, sometimes I'll hope that this will be the end. But then other times I'll... Just that power. To know that I'll come back.
The women that are willing participants in your thirst for blood, I guess, how do you broach the subject to them? What do you say?
Through chat and internet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on certain websites, like.
Well, don't tell me the websites.
No, but just like through, there are other vampires. Like they're, like just people that.
Then you're not alone on this planet, are you?
No, there's probably hundreds of us.
All suffering the same fate.
Yes. I'm not sure if they're related at all, or if they've just suffered the same fate.
It's kind of funny about technology. It's now even allowed vampires to do what you do.
Yep.
100 years ago, you couldn't do that.
No. For the most part, in those days, it was just, for the most part, we just fed off animals for the most part.
So through all this, since the 1400s, you've also then seen events occur.
Mm-hmm.
You've lived through them all. World War I, World War II. You've seen everything. Let me ask you this beyond the vampire questions. In the 500-600 years you've been around, always coming back, is there a specific period of time that you found to be the greatest? If you could go back again, is there an era that you would have preferred to have been back in?
I guess it would be during the... that's a hard question. I guess it'd be during the Napoleonic reign.
What has been the most fascinating thing you've seen in your time on this planet?
I'd have to say it was the end of World War II and the bombing of Nagasaki and Hiroshima.
Interesting. I guess I can't ask you any future questions because you don't know those, do you?
Not yet.
Not yet. Well, I don't know what I can do to suggest you to get some help, other than I don't know how spiritual you are. Do you believe in a supreme creator?
I believe in a force, yes.
With what's happening to you, is it the product of the devil, do you think?
Yes, some sort of dark magic, yes.
Yeah, it is. So I think with anything that's dark, there's also good and light. And I think maybe if you turn to that somehow, but get somebody who knows what they're doing.
Like an exorcism or something, maybe?
I don't know if it would be an exorcist, but maybe someone spiritual who can take you in another direction. I got to tell you, I believe you. I believe what's happening to you. I believe you do what you do. It's good to know, quite honestly, that you're not killing people. If you were, I'd have a real problem with talking to you right now.
You don't have to worry about that, because I don't.
But even these animals, do you harm them after you do what you do with them?
Nope. They're let free. Hmm. I just get what I want from them, and that's it.
Yeah, you might want to keep in touch with us. Now that you have the internet, you can get a hold of me.
Mm-hmm.
You can email me. I've never had a vampire email me before.
Hmm.
Why don't you do that? We'll look for some help for you.
Okay.
All right,
thank
thanks.
You.
Now that was a different phone call. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Hey.
This is Jesse in San Antonio.
Hi, Jesse.
I wanted to ask you a question. Remember whenever you were talking about Jackie Gleason and Richard Nixon?
Yes, during the aliens. Yeah.
Where did you get that article from?
Oh, I've always known about it, but if you Google search Jackie Gleason / Richard Nixon / aliens, you're going to get a couple stories come up.
I did that, but it wasn't like the one you read.
It's in there somewhere, because that's how I had it.
Oh, okay. And another thing, what time do y'all come on in Los Angeles?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock, so from 10 till 2 then.
10 until 5.
Yeah, because here in San Antonio, y'all come on at midnight until 4 in the morning.
Yeah, different times, but in L.A. we're on from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m.
Yeah, your show's the only reason why I continue to work nights.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. And, yeah, that's a great story. Those of you who might not know what he's talking about, a long time ago, Jackie Gleason used to golf with then-President Richard Nixon. And Gleason had this fascination with aliens. And he went up to the president at the time and said, come on now, tell me the truth about this. And Nixon took him to Homestead Air Force Base in Florida and said, I want to show you something. Nixon drove Jackie Gleason there in a car without any Secret Service, nothing. Matter of fact, the Secret Service, they were going crazy trying to figure out where he went. He gets onto the base. I mean, the guard sees, oh, my God, he's a president. And he goes with Jackie Gleason, takes him into an area, and showed him an alien who was in a tank, a dead alien. And apparently, according to Jackie Gleason's wife, she's never seen him so profoundly upset. It shocked him, absolutely shocked him. And it's one of the greatest in UFO lore. It's one of the greatest stories I've heard because, when you hear a story about Jackie Gleason and the former president and this, I mean, there's something to that. Let's go to our zombie hotline. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Paul. I'm from Texas.
Hey, Paul, have you seen a zombie?
Oh, well, I'm in a band, and I'm 17. I go to high school.
Yeah.
And the type of music we play and the audience we attract are people just like the call we just got with the vampires and people like that.
Okay.
They're really dark, and, you know, they're all into certain things like that, and there's this one person.
Time to change the music.
And this one person that he's been to our shows, and he's gone to, you know, a number of them. He goes to the same high school as I go to, but he looks like as if he's 30 or 40 years old. He looks extremely old. He's about 6 foot tall and about 300 pounds. where he's just a big, heavyset guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he walks with a hunch. He's always, you know, he's always going somewhere. He carries around a briefcase. And
he's a student?
Yes, he's a student at school. And he walks around the school, though, like he's determined to go somewhere. But if, let's say, I'm on the east side of the school and my class is on the west side, I'll see him there right in the area I'm in, and I'll go all the way around, go to my class, and he's inside the classroom waiting for me.
Already? There's, like, no way he could get there.
Yeah, there's no possible way he could get there before I could without me seeing him, you know, and he's already there.
Have you ever talked to him?
No, then that's the thing. We've, my bandmates and friends of mine tried to just talk to him and communicate to him, and he refuses to. And we see him there at the shows, and he's gone to, like, houses of the drummer Dan, and you know, he stands out there, and we always wonder, like, what is
he's, he just house? He stands, like, on the sidewalk looking at the house?
Yeah, exactly.
Ugh, that's creepy.
And, you know, and it's kind of like, people like that, it kind of comes with the territory of the type of band I'm in.
What do you think's in the briefcase?
God knows. But, I don't know, just...
Be careful about this one.
Yeah, this guy.
Be careful. Why do you play that kind of music? Not that I'm that old, but...
Well, it's not so much, I mean...
You should play like Guy Lombardo.
Well, I got kicked out of a band because I refused to play Lynyrd Skynyrd. But, I don't know, it's not so much as hardcore as it seems. It's not anything too dark, and I don't think I'm going to go to hell for it or anything, but...
What is that kind of music called nowadays?
Well,
it's not like heavy metal, is it? So no, that's even different.
Yeah, well, I mean, in local papers, we've been classified as like a vampire rock or zombie rock. Or,
is that what they call it, zombie rock?
I guess so. I would just call it rock music, you know, but I'm not even quite too sure what it would be.
How good is your band?
Well, we've been together for about 3 years, and, I mean... It's nothing to the Beatles status or anything, but, I mean, for a local band, we're not that bad.
Who knows? You may cut a record and win a Grammy one day. You never know.
And this guy can be at a...
Yeah, he'll be there with his briefcase. Yeah, be careful. Keep an eye on that guy.
All right.
All right, thanks. He's strange, like that security guard. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. It's Gary calling from your old hometown, St. Louis.
Hello, Gary.
Listen to you on the Big 550 KTRS. Yeah,
absolutely.
I've got a couple quick questions for you.
Sure.
One was I missed most of the first hour with Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like a second-degree Reiki healing person.
Good, yeah.
And I was wondering if what Adam does is maybe perhaps Reiki energy.
I never asked him if it was Reiki, but it's probably very similar.
Oh, okay. And my second question was, are you planning on doing any more shows on chemtrails and stuff?
Oh, yeah. We try to do two a year. I did one about 3 months ago, so there's one probably coming up in another 3 months.
Oh, okay, because I know your old hometown here is getting pelted here like last Sunday. Was like, just.
You know, my son's graduating from college in May, so I'm going to be there doing my shows for a few weeks.
Oh, are you?
Get where to clean the air up before I get there. Huh?
I've got plenty of pictures for you if you ever want them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, it's good talking to you.
Okay, thanks.
Take care.
Appreciate it. Hey, by the way, I don't have the date yet, but David Icke will be a guest again right here on Coast to Coast. David will be originating live out of England where he lives, but he will be back on. I've gotten a lot of emails from you saying, when's David back on? I don't have the date. I do know Lisa is talking to him, and they're working on setting it up. And so we will have that all locked up and ready to go for you. And then also some other fascinating things coming down the old road, the coast-to-coast road. I'll be back in just a moment. Open lines continue. The zombie hotline, too, is 818-817-0021. If you ever need to email me, it's george@coasttocoastam.com. At the end of the program, our dear friend Dr. Morgus has left us with a little hersery rhyme that he'd like to play for us. And so we will do that at the end of the program, those of you who are Morgus fans. And then in another month or so, I'll replay that hilarious accident day, but not right now. I mean, we just did, so that'll be in a few months.
The official website of Coast to Coast AM is www.coasttocoastam.com. Log on now. Call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Indeed, indeed. Let me tell you a little bit about what's in store for next week. Monday, our guest will be Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. She's an expert in vaccines, and let me tell you something, she doesn't think we should be taking any. So we'll be talking to Sherry on Monday. Tuesday, the expert in asteroids, Dr. Dan Durda, will find out what's on his mind as they continue to try to track asteroids around this universe. Wednesday, Brandi Stark, our guest. This is going to be a huge story about ghost huntings. Make sure you're part of Coast to Coast on Wednesday with Brandi Stark. Thursday, Ken Hansen joins us as we look at Dead Sea Scrolls and also have Kenneth interprets some of the lost texts in the Bible. Very interesting stuff as a prelude to Easter. We'll be back. Let's go to our first-time caller line and get this segment underway right here on Coast to Coast. Hi there. How are you?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, my name's John. I'm calling from Wilmington, Ohio.
Hi, John. What's on your mind tonight?
It's a zombie-like story for
you. Okay, see what you got.
Well, I was listening earlier, and I heard you talking about your security guard, and it piqued my interest a little bit. I had a friend that lived up in northern Ohio, and I went to high school with him, and when I first met him, he wasn't very friendly at all, really. He didn't have hardly any emotion. You know, he stared ahead a lot. He didn't respond to many people hardly at all unless, you know, he absolutely had to. And after a little while, he started to come out of it after I'd known him for about a year.
Just to you or with other people, too?
Really, he started to come out of it when he met a girl that he liked and he started going out with her.
Okay.
And I asked him about it later because I had a hard time getting information out of him in the first place. And I finally got out of him that when he was a kid around 10 or 11 years old, he had uncontrollable astral projection that would go on a lot with him. And he had a lot of problems when he was young and in school and stuff, because, you know, he was kind of short and chunky and whatnot, but...
Kids made fun of him.
Yeah, but he said that he was astral projecting one night, and he was walking around these different planes and stuff, and he talked to what seemed to be a priest in a temple, but he said he didn't have a good feeling about it, even at that age. And the creature told him, you know, if you don't want to have problems, I'll give you power to, you know, not have to deal with it. And from that point on, he said he just lost all emotion whatsoever.
Almost like he sold his soul to the devil.
Yeah, and it was always strange to me because, you know, he could cause weird things to happen anyways, you know, light bulbs to explode.
Just by looking at them?
Yeah, it took a little bit of concentration for him, but it gave him some kind of power outside of, you know, just the emotions. It was really weird.
What do you think he's doing now?
Well, he's got a kid now, and he's working, but I haven't talked to him in probably about a year and a half, 2 years.
I wonder if he's... What do you think he's changed?
Well, he changed in weird ways. His sense of humor came back, but everything to him was in a... It was a very sarcastic way after that point. He opened up, but he was still cynical in a way.
Kind of a morbid sense of humor.
Yeah, but, you know, I got along with him good. We were into a lot of the same stuff once I got him to break down enough and give me a chance.
Have you noticed how sometimes people, not to be cruel, but somebody will trip and people laugh? I mean, it's almost like it's a natural thing within people just to start bursting out laughing when they see stuff like that. And the person could be, then they realize how hurt the person could be. Mm-hmm. But they do. Everybody just laughs on stuff like that.
Well, I've done little experiments of my own because I get irritated by people in society in general, just a lot of stupidity that goes on and people not using their brains. I was in McDonald's one night, and I just saw a lot of people acting ignorant in there, so I just got up, loosened up all my food, my pop lids, and purposely tripped and fell, knocked my stuff all over them, just to see what would happen, you know, because I knew they were going to act like idiots either way.
So sure.
I did it, and I pretended like I was handicapped, too, and, you know, nobody did a single thing, so if all else, I got their shoes and their clothes a little bit dirty, so made me feel a little better.
All right, thanks. Appreciate that. I was at a party years ago, and some guy walked right through a glass patio window, and everyone was laughing, except me, of course. Everybody was laughing, and then they realized he had cut himself, and nobody laughed anymore. But I think it's human nature, I think, just to laugh in the beginning until you realize that somebody's hurt. Let's go to our wild card line. You're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, Mr. Nora. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Well,
this is Brandon from Louisville, listening to you on the 50,000-watt bluegrass blowtorch,
Absolutely.
WHAS.
You got that right. How are you?
I'm great this morning. First, I want to ask you, before I got a ghost story for you, but have you ever thought about having a show on spontaneous human combustion?
I had a one-hour show about a year and a half ago about that, and we've been talking about doing a full program on that. That is a fascinating topic to me.
It sure is, and I did a report on that in high school ages ago, and ever since then, I've just wondered about it.
What did you conclude when you were putting that report together?
It was, like I said, it probably been 10 years ago, but it was mostly just it was very hard to gather information, and the little bit I did gather, because this was way before the internet, you know, and I had to go to the local library, and there were two books in our library here in Louisville that dealt with it, and it was, one was just a account of a lady that had, blown up in her chair, so to speak, and it was just a, there weren't many scientific facts, it was just hearsay.
There's some kind of chemical or energy in their body, and it reacts with something, and then, you know, like, poof, they're gone.
Exactly. But I'd love if you have a show on that. But the reason I called you, I have a kind of a family ghost story for you.
Okay.
My grandmother and grandfather had been married for 50 years, and both grew up out in the country, you know, just old school type people. They didn't believe in any, you know, thing of the abnormal, so to speak.
Sure.
Well, my grandmother had come down with like strokes and started having amnesia. Her health got progressively worse, and about 10 years ago she got put in a nursing home. So my grandfather was living by himself, and he said, you know, at first I thought maybe it was just being lonely. And he said it was little things. The lights would flicker on in the hallway. He would hear things. And he just, you know, he wrote it off as being old, and he said his age was catching up with him. Well, as my grandmother deteriorated, the things going on in the house picked up. The lights flickering all of a sudden started to become, the lights would stay on or turn off at the same time that she always went to bed. And then right before she passed away, it totally freaked him out, because he had a housekeeper, a lady came in, made his bed and stuff up.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was always pressed, the sheets were perfect, and he got in bed. And he said he was just about to fall asleep, and he felt someone touch him on his side. And he flicked on the light real quick, and he turned over, and there was no one there, but there was the indentation of a body on the bed sheet next to him.
Oh.
Like someone had laid down.
Yeah.
Well, he told my mother, we were sitting at the kitchen table one night, and he, like I said, this to him was just gobbledygook. He just didn't ever want to believe this. And he looked at us, he said, I tell y'all both something. He said, if you ever tell anybody about this, I'll call you a liar. Well, after she passed away here about 5 years ago, stuff was, he said it was, he finally, he was 77, and he said, in my 77 years, I never believed in this stuff. He said, after your grandmother passed away, I finally became a believer.
That's something. It took that long, and it took that episode.
Well, it gets better. Right before she passed away,
right after
she passed away, he was sitting in his den watching television. And he had the light on, the television on, and he said, I heard something. And he said, I turned around, and he said, your grandmother was standing there looking at me. And he said, my jaw dropped, and before I could say anything, he said, I blinked, and she was gone.
She was gone, but he knew she was there.
Oh, he said, and even myself, I'd go down to the house, and you could, there was just a different feeling in that house after she'd gone into the nursing home, and then after she passed on, it was just... It was good. It was reassuring to him, because like he said, I knew I was still being, she was still looking after me.
Probably wants to make sure that he doesn't get involved with the housekeeper.
Well, I'm just hoping he doesn't come back and get me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the story.
All right, thanks, Mr. Norr. You have a good night.
You too. Let's move on to our East of the Rockies line. It's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, Mr. Norrie. My name is Tyler from Manchester, New Hampshire.
Hi,
how are you doing
Tyler,
tonight?
I'm fine. And you can call me George.
Oh, thank you so much, George. Well, the reason I'm calling is I'm working on my licensure to become a school psychologist.
Good
and,
for you.
And I've heard a lot of people talk about zombie-like behaviors and activities and things like that. And I heard you right at the beginning of the show, you were talking about the security guard.
Oh, my God. I know. I'm just hoping against hope that he's not down there.
Well, the good news is, right when you said that, the very first thing that crossed my mind is I've been studying autism, and I'm doing a lot of research on autism, and the more, like, I heard you talk about it, and the more I've heard the callers call in, a lot of the behaviors, which some would describe as zombie-like behavior, are very similar toward symptoms for people who are diagnosed with autism.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know how familiar you are with autism.
Not a lot. I really have not known anyone who had it.
Well, a person who's autistic comes across as very, very emotionless, very stoic. In fact, that's one of the key characteristics of the disease. Reason being is that a big part of autism is like their brain does not understand how to process emotion, and such as like they can't differentiate the emotion behind a smile or a frown.
Right.
If they physically be taught that. And then a gentleman was calling who's in a rock band, I guess a couple callers back, and
yeah.
I'd follow him around and stuff. people with autism tend to perseverate on things. They focus on whatever it is. They'll focus on one thing. A lot of times they can gain a high degree of competency in it.
Okay.
But, I mean, they can become really obsessed with it. Hence that, just, I mean, even like typically within doctors and even within like psychologists, they're known for just that undescribable odd behavior that's hard to put a tangible on.
Well, would the security guard be able to have that kind of a job if he was artistic?
I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, he could. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people with autism, if they've been connected with services young enough, and some even if they haven't, depending on how profound it is. They can be very high functioning people.
So here I am thinking the guy's a zombie, and the poor guy could be autistic.
He may be.
Now I feel bad.
Nothing to feel bad about. I mean, the other thing too is he may not even know. Up until about 5 or 6 years ago, autism was very, very underdiagnosed due to a federal law that was passed. It's called, I don't know if you're familiar with IDEA, the Individuals with Disabilities Education.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, about 4 years ago, IDEA said that the government basically was required to identify autism as a disability. Before that, though, there was really no reason to really even diagnose it,
mm-hmm.
so to speak. So, I mean, there's a lot of people out there who very well may have it and aren't even aware of it.
He may be one.
So, well, all right, sir. Thank you for
all. All right, thanks. Appreciate it. Good luck in school too. Very well mannered. Zombie line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Hi there.
Hey, this is John calling from the home of the Fighting Illini.
Excellent.
Hey, got a question for you. Have you ever thought of maybe that your security guard there is one a drone or two? Somebody the government set there to keep an eye on you and your guests.
You never know.
Yeah, funny story for you, though. It's funny you bring up zombies when it comes to the Fighting Illini, because I'd say yesterday, a couple of the radio stations down here were saying that they're all playing like they're zombies because it's never getting the wins anymore.
Well,
I told a couple of my buddies that it was your fault, though, because you
I knew you would. I knew you. Yeah, but I called it off.
Yes, sir. Well, I wanted to call and see if you had waived them options up or not.
Hey, when's the NCAA tourney starts pretty soon, right?
Yeah, oh, yes, sir.
Yep.
Yes, sir. They're getting there. They're very squeaking by, but, you know, it was just funny that you brought that up after you'd already did your experiment and they're making comments down here that they're playing like zombies.
Yeah, well, I mean,
so maybe you might get a kick out of
have
that.
Have they? I mean, I'm so out of college basketball right now. Have they started? They have started. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate that. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay. I think, you know, the team that's number one before the NCAA tournament would start. Not that this is a sports show. Jim Rome would like this, but I think the team that's number one should be allowed to play in the final game. Period. You just tuck them away and let everybody battle for the right to play that team. Don't you think that's the right way to do it? Because you can have teams like, God love them, Michigan State. What were they ranked? They were like 8, 9, 10. They ended up winning. And you become the national champs when you win the NCAA tournament. So I think whoever is number one when the season ends, they should be allowed to stay in the final championship game, and everybody play to play them. And then I think that's fair. I really do. They should change. Anybody else believe that? Fast bless me and let me know. First time caller line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there.
Yeah.
This is Tuesday, and I'm calling from Long Beach.
Hello, Tuesday. I'm Monday.
And today is Friday.
I bet everybody has done that with you forever.
They have, or they've called me on the, they say I'm from the Adams family.
That's right.
It's all good. I'm calling to give you an update. I've got I live in a very haunted house. In fact, over the last 6 years, I've had thousands of ghosts come through my house, and I've got three of them actually right in front of me as we speak, and I can feel one of them behind me touching me in the back of my neck and my leg.
Are they peaceful?
Majority of them, they are. I do get troublemakers once in a while in. I go in and check on the kids, and I can see something crawling across their sheets or something, and or they'll pull the cat's tail, or actually they'll cause me to have a really bad headache or a lot of pressure in my head from them, but majority of them are.
And they're listening to Coast to Coast with you right now?
Absolutely. Absolutely on it. In fact, you know, I've sent some pictures in. I've got some pictures on your site from some of the ghosts that I have in my house. And, you know, it's funny because I get 31 flavors. It's what I call my 31 flavors of different types of ghosts. You know, I mean, they're not always just what I would call just humanized ghosts.
Why you?
You know what? I don't know. I had a death in my family about 6 years ago, and I started feeling something touch me. And, you know, of course, I was freaking out, you know, what's touching me? You turn around, there's nothing there. Well, I started seeing them. And what I did is I started taking pictures of things that I was seeing, you know, just to clarify, see if they'd come back on my photos. And they were starting to come back on my photos.
What era are they from, do you think?
I get eras all the way back to seem like where they're even like almost cavemen.
No.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have... there's what we call, it's like a train station portal that comes out of my hallway closet, where I was standing in the living room one day, and I seen this lady, this apparition lady, come through the hallway door, and I look at her, and she has her bag with her. She looked like she was maybe from the early 1900s, late 1800s. And so there was another lady comes out, and another lady comes out, and then another man, and he has like a kid with him. And these people, by the time I got done counting, there was about 49, it was the 49th one that had gotten off, and she turns and she looks at me and she tells me, and it kind of like an English voice for me to step back away from the train, that I'm going to get ran over. And I'm looking at her going, the train? And I says, oh no, you guys are at the wrong stop. You guys get right back on that train. And what it was is that there was actually in this area a huge train wreck.
Oh my.
And I will get this train. It seems like I'll get this train about once every 6 months, that they'll come through this hallway door we have.
That's a great story, too. What you gotta avoid, though, and be very careful. When the conductor comes out and says, all aboard, don't get on that train. I'll be back in a moment. Another hour to go of Open Lines right here on Coast to Coast AM.
Now I sit by my window and I watch the cars. I fear I'll do some damage one fine day. But I would not be convicted by jury of my peers. Still crazy after all. Still crazy, still crazy.